Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Brahma, Rama, Dhamma, but until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an A women?
A women.
I want to welcome you to my 17th bedside chat of the Corona Apocalypse. I'm here with Dr. Bonobo, yes. My Dr. Fauci, Dr. Bonobo. Of course, he's wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. Sunshine is wearing a mask. And our bedside chats of the Cornucopolis are inspired by FDR's fireside chats. And yes, COVID is surging. The death count is rising as unidentified stormtroopers, federal agents in combat gear shoot and maim peaceful protesters, you know, with these kinetic impact munitions, and then they kidnap some peaceful protesters right off the street in Portland and maybe in some other places by orders of the Mango Mussolini, of course. Beware, brothers and sisters. Beware, be very aware before fascism, you know, which of course is not going to look the same as the other kinds of fascism. It's going to be very all-American. It is very over all-American, and it might overtake us if we're not very aware. Beware. But hey, happy Wiener Day! Woohoo! Yes, indeed. It's International Wiener Day, yeah, when we eat wiener hot dogs and we race wiener dogs, right? We race some wiener dogs, or dachshunds is what they're called in German. And the German for dachshund means badger dog. So let's show those racing wiener dogs. Yeah, race those wiener dogs or those dachshund dogs or sausage dogs. Yes, indeed, they're off and running, the wiener dogs. So they're called badger dogs because they're long wiener shape. Ooh, yeah, baby, lick that. Lick it. Their long wiener shape enables them to flush out the badgers from their burrows, right? So yes, indeed, the human wiener, well, this is a balloon wiener, but it's shaped very much like a wiener dog, and or the wiener dog is shaped like a human wiener. I mean, it's a hunting dog, right? It's a hunting dog, and so it penetrates deep into holes. So, you know, that's why the shape. So anyway, it is Sunshine's idea to celebrate Wiener Day because she loves wieners, as you can see by her shirt, right? Show that shirt. Yeah, she loves wieners. And I love wieners too, as you can see by my necklace. Show my necklace right here, my wiener necklace that actually Sunshine gave me, although Max cut the heart in the middle. And yes, Captain Max, I love his personal wiener most of all. And we had a good time last night. You and
we did.
Me and your personal wiener, didn't we? We sure did. Yeah, he kind of hiccuped. He was great. So he burrowed into that badger burrow right there. Yeah, so anyway, who else likes wieners out there? I mean the human appendage right now, okay? I mean, we all like the wiener dogs, no doubt. I'm not talking about Oscar Mayer. I'm talking about human wieners, which a lot of us really love. I mean, actually, I think most of us do. Maybe not everybody, but of course, gay men love wieners, right? Gay men do, and shamelessly, as a matter of fact. And, I mean, that is if they're out, they love them. But, you know, gay men in the closet, maybe not so shameless. Of course, some women love wieners. I would say porn stars in general love wieners. They better, or they shouldn't be porn stars. And I would say that, you know, most women are more interested in what's attached to the wiener, the rest of the body and the brain, right? The buns, you know. But the wiener, I mean, once you get the PIV, that's short for penis and vagina, thing going, then I think the wiener is the star, right? It's a star wiener. So now, of course, that's true if he behaves himself, right? Wieners, you must behave yourselves, just like those good little wiener dogs. Yeah. Now, what about so-called straight men, huh? How many of you straight men love wieners? Now, don't all raise your hands at once, okay? I mean, really. Don't all, yeah, jump to it. I hope at least you love your own wiener. But how about other wieners? I'm curious to know. Actually, I do know because I'm a therapist. I'm a sex therapist. I talk to a lot of men who identify as straight who love wieners. And, yeah, I'm not just talking about the hot dog, baby. So a lot of men love wieners, you know, a lot of straight men. And it's the bonobo way. It's okay. You know, one reason that male-female porn is so popular is because most straight guys, who are the biggest customers, of course, enjoy watching a hot woman having sex with, you know, a well-hung dude. Now, the dude himself usually is not that important. It's the wiener. That's what's important. I mean, you might be more turned on when the wiener is very large, like a big kielbasa. You might like a super hard, like heat-seeking missile wiener attached to a real man who knows how to do it. Yeah, use it. Then again, maybe you like a wiener that's attached to a female, right? I mean, some guys do. A trans or gender fluid individual, a wiener wielder that is more feminine. A lot of guys might like that. Maybe you want to worship what you feel is a superior wiener. I don't know if I would judge wieners as inferior or superior as a therapist, but I know a lot of you guys, you know, you're very competitive about it. And so, yeah, some guys like to worship the so-called superior wiener. And some guys like for their wieners to kind of compete in a sperm war, right? Sperm Wars. You can see my YouTube video about that. It's a phenomenon that means that when you see other wieners, it generally, even if you're totally heterosexual, raises your sperm count, makes you feel harder, more excited, makes you want to do that thrusting motion more often. Because the presence of another man, even if it's just in your imagination, it's very powerful. Sperm Wars. So then there's different ways to achieve that Sperm Wars thing. I mean, fantasy is probably the safest way, but you could have a threesome. You could be a swinger. You could be a cuckold. You know, cuckolding is getting more and more popular. Consensual cuckolding doesn't have to involve humiliation of your wiener. But it could, if that's what you like. then again, maybe you enjoy penis fencing, bonobo style. That's a popular way that bonobos reconcile so they don't kill each other when they have a fight, is they rub wieners together. And then there is being pegged by a strap-on wiener, right? Strap-on wieners. Anyone? Pegging, yeah. Or maybe your desire for the wiener is oral. I mean, there's pegging, there's the real wiener, there's the oral wiener, anal wiener. Always practice safe sex, of course, safe, sane, consensual with your wieners. And hold the ketchup. No bloody wieners, please. Now, maybe sex isn't even a part of it. You know, I mean, there's a sort of a phenomenon in which a lot of people are just fascinated by the phallic shape. And just think about all the phallic buildings, the monuments, like the Washington Monument. And there's a whole park in Korea that has these penis monuments. But also just any skyscrapers are kind of penis-like, and it's fascinating. And yeah, speaking of fascinating, the Latin root of that word is fascinum, a penis-shaped amulet that ancient Roman men and women would wear for good luck on a necklace. So how about that? Fascinating. The penis, the wiener is fascinating, and that's why it has its own holiday, and it's all good. Well, maybe not all, actually. Gun-toting homosexuals are also kind of wiener fetishists in a way, but they have perverted our normal, healthy appetite for wieners and affection for wiener dogs into a fetish for AR-15s and, you know, I mean, it's pretty dangerous, other weapons that we see everywhere these days. But that brings me to Trump's wiener again, which isn't even shaped like a wiener. No, as we could see in Stormy Daniels' report, it is shaped more like a little tiny mushroom. And it's very spankable. As you can see, he is now choking on a brown wiener, which is kind of appropriate. And he has a little strawberry mushroom wiener himself. And, of course, he's got his bleach ready as a chaser. And thank you, Sunshine, for making all these fabulous balloon wieners. Yes, indeed. Yes. So not only does he have a baby mushroom, apparently one of Trump's shortcomings is that he's short in coming, right? He's quick on the trigger, so Stormy says. Well, you know, the quintessential narcissist, what can I say? And as for wiener dogs, well, the Trumpus is just too narcissistic to care for a dog. You know, you really got to care. And I'm not talking about the hot dog. Well, I am talking about the dachshund or any kind of dog. But in contrast, our 26th president, and that was Teddy Roosevelt, who was fifth cousin to FDR, had many dogs. Show this picture. This is really cool. This picture up there. because this is Teddy Roosevelt and his wiener dog. Yeah, it's so cute. Oh. And he had many dogs, and this is one of his dogs, the wiener dog. And so, meanwhile, we're happy because Trump's polls are as short as his wiener. So that's good, you know. He's got a little pole. Yeah. And many of little Donnie's shortcomings are actually described in this book, which we just got. This big bestseller, Mary L. Trump, PhD, Too Much and Never Enough. And Mary L. Trump is, of course, she is Trump is Donnie's niece, and she knows a lot. Oh, my goddess. She is a very courageous and talented woman, very good writer. And I just started reading it, so I don't know a lot about it. But I'm already finding out little tidbits of the Trump family drama. And one of them is that Fred Trump, the original Friedrich Trump, who's Donnie's grandfather, the father of Fred the sociopath, who, you know, started, actually Friedrich kind of started the family business. He came over here from Germany, and he died from the influenza of 1918. I mean, you would think Trump might mention that as a human interest story, and you would think that, I mean, he would be sensitive to pandemics, but of course he's not really sensitive to anything except for his own feelings. But yeah, here we are, flying through the corona apocalypse with a president who wears his mask over his eyes. But back to wieners. Yeah, wieners. Wieners, they're delicious, they're adorable. And don't let your wiener ruin your career, okay? As happened to disgraced Congressman Anthony Weiner, who exposed himself to various people on the internet. I mean, I think he started as one lady, but, you know, you get there naked on the internet and everybody sees you eventually, especially if you're famous. So, you know, if you're that kind of exhibitionist, it's cool. I'm all for your exhibitionism, but you should be showing off privately, like to my therapist at the Dr. Susan Block Institute, as an example of who you could show off to. But I'm sure there's somebody you could show off to. So anyway, we are going to have a really exciting show tonight. I've got some very exciting guests. And I do want to give a shout out to Anna. Anna Muy Cabrona. Anna Muy Dura. Anna, you know, it's great. She's home a week early from the hospital, and she's just doing fantastic. No, she didn't have coronavirus. She has had some surgery, and she actually got in with it right between the corona, you know, Juski's book, What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Me Too, Essays on Sex, Authority, and the Mess of Life. Also, I will be the virtual DomCon Mistress of Ceremonies 2020. That's right, we're going to have a virtual DomCon this year. And I'm also going to be DomCon Mistress of Ceremonies for 2021, when hopefully it will be in person. But right now, it is going to be a virtual one because, you know, this corona apocalypse is upon us. So stay tuned for details. And is my first guest ready? Hello.
Hi. Should I turn the video on?
All right.
Hello,
I can't
Leslie.
See her.
All right. Oh. Hi.
Hi. I'm going to pull my mask down now and say hello to my featured guest, Mika Spielberg. Woo! Welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show. We're very excited to have you here. You look beautiful.
And
you are beautiful and bright and adventurous, I must say. Yes.
Very.
You are an erotic artist and a pay-per-view cam entertainer and an aerial artist. Developing,
yes.
getting there, and an anxious chonk elf. At least that's what your Twitter says, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a term I picked up from some chat groups.
Oh, a term from chat groups. Yeah. The anxious part, or the chonk part, or the elf part?
Oh, the chonk part. It's actually what I meant to say was cat groups. So like groups about pet owners. So they describe very round cats as being chonk.
Right. Well, you are very well-rounded, I will say that, in more ways than one. You know, I would say you're well-rounded mentally and physically. Although I don't know you that well yet, but you seem to be. Yeah.
I try. Most people, I try.
And you're out there in Tennessee, huh? Which is not your usual place for an erotic artist or entertainer.
Yeah.
How's life in Tennessee?
It's once my whole situation right now is taken care of, I'm gone. I can't continue to live here safely.
Are you going to come back to LA?
Are you going to come back to LA? Sunshine wants to know. I want to know too.
I thought about it, but then my next option would be the UK, if possible.
Oh, UK. Exciting.
A London girl. Okay.
I want to go there.
Well, all right. All the options. And speaking of UK, you did an interview with The Sun. And in it, you say you're a very sexual creature, which, of course, we endorse on the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Aren't we?
But I want to know what you mean by that. Is that like a certain type of elf or what?
It just means that I'm not ashamed of, like you said, the exhibitionist part of my personality. That's like actually the least shameful thing for me. Like engaging in that is something that has never really brought me shame. And I think a lot of people find that really hard to understand. I've never had any sort of like issue with nudity or exhibitionism because, one of the things about me is that nudity is not always sexual for me. So, like, I'm able to separate the two.
Yeah, nudity is all kinds of experiences. I mean, there's swimming in a pool and just feeling the water just rippling against your naked body. And that's an incredible experience that is just not the same with a bathing suit.
Exactly.
And just there's nudist, there's not so many anymore. There used to be a lot of nudist resorts. I think people are getting maybe more prudish in some ways, although the internet, you can see anything. But real life is getting a little, I don't know, cautious, I guess. But it's good. It's good. I mean, where are you able to hang out nude? Just on your own?
My home.
Just at home. Yeah. Okay.
My home. In the South, it's very, very like strict. So like even say you were at like a pool party with like friends or something and it was on their residence, you couldn't go like I guess like it's like a weird thing where like you just can't do that here.
So in that Sun interview, you also said, I got really tired of not being able to capitalize on my body. And frankly, I got really tired of being told to hate my body. I mean, did somebody tell you that specifically or just society in general?
It's been a lifelong message that I've gotten just because, I'm built quite different from a lot of people. I struggle with a lot of chronic illness. So, sometimes, weight loss and, weight gain are really difficult for me. So I always stay at this like odd zone.
Well, I don't think you're an odd zone at all. From what I've seen of you, you look perfect. actually. And you have a great body. I mean, I also saw you wrote, honestly, I have hated my chest for so long, but I finally learned to embrace it. And you're very lucky. You're, as they say, well endowed.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think that there's, you know, you have such a beautiful body and very hourglass shaped, you know, very voluptuous, not at all fat, and not that there's anything wrong with being what some people might call fat, but you're not. And it's just very, I guess, unnerving for some people. Some people are jealous. Some people are so turned on, they just don't know how to deal with you. Right? What kind of reactions do you get?
It really depends on the environment I'm in. So it really depends on the environment I'm in at the time. So I like kind of want to compare people's reactions online to people's reactions in real life. I think a lot of the reactions are dependent on the cultures you come from. So the reaction for me has actually been best from some of my Southern European viewers. So their reaction to my body is very different from the reaction to my body here where I live right now.
Did you say Southern European?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so which is where my husband is from. He's from Italy. So I totally get loving the Southern European kind of approach to nudity, to sexuality, right? So that's cool. Now, I noticed you also said it was actually really nice and refreshing to have people say cool things, because people can often say really upsetting things about a black woman's body sometimes, you said in the interview. I mean, do you think that people allow their racism to mingle with their sexism and then they come out with saying these things? Is that how it goes?
I would definitely say my experience in the sex industry was like that.
Okay.
Sexism and racism.
Okay, well, she just lost the connection, but she'll be right back.
About these, what's happening in Portland?
Oh, in Portland, well, they are picking up people right off the street and putting them in unmarked cars. And it's really kind of shocking. I mean, for the most part, they're doing it kind of gently, but they did shoot a guy, and his face was all bloody.
They cracked somebody's skull.
Yeah.
What they did, right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of violence, and there's a lot of intimidation.
These people here that did that in up there in Oregon were called stormtroopers.
Yeah, that's what actually Nancy Pelosi called them.
Yeah,
and I thought, you know, that's an apt term. Right. Nothing against the stormtrooper character.
Yeah, I was thinking that's a movie. That's not real.
Well, unfortunately, the stormtrooper character from the movies is based on real stormtroopers that really hurt people, and that is certainly very real, all too real. And it's so real that it's happening on American streets right now. So it's pretty disturbing. But hopefully we'll be turning this country around somewhat, you know, if we can have this election, which is supposed to take place.
In November. We'll get...
Right. I didn't say erection, okay?
Election.
I said election. Although 4 years ago we had what I call electile dysfunction. Yeah. So it could happen again. Okay.
She's back.
So we are functioning again.
Can't hear her.
Okay. So now we see her. Okay. We'll just look at her. She's so pretty. But we would like to hear her too. Oh, there she is. I hear. Mm-mm.
Okay. Hi, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you know, we find that happens with Zoom sometimes. So, hey, Zoom, we love you. But anyway, we were talking about, you know, your statement to the Sun that people say really upsetting things about a black woman's body. And I was just asking if it's a like a racist, sexist, or is it a fetish?
Oh yeah.
What do they say? I mean, I don't know if you want to repeat it or just tell me how it feels or what happened.
Oh yeah. So a lot of the time, what happens is when people see Black women owning their bodies in really, really loud ways, it can cause like panic. Like, I know you talk a lot about sex panic.
Sex panic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We were talking about that a lot last week, and this can cause that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we in this country at least have a 300-year history of sex panic around the bodies of Black women. It's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Since, since the founding of this country, and certainly it was emphasized during the Salem witch trials. And there were Black women that were hung and burned, and a lot of it was because of their sexuality, and people, both women and men, being freaked out by it. And it continues. And, what do you think of the Black Lives Matter movement? Do you think that it's going to change things?
My hope, especially with what I've experienced in my life recently, just about 6 months ago, is that it does, and I can't really go into details, but I hope that it does change the way we treat Black bodies as a danger. I feel like in this country, like, there's always this treatment of, like, for example, my body, its mere existence is a danger to some people, and that's not true, and that's how I'm treated anyway. So I just have to learn to deal with it half the time.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's different for men and for women, but it's true. Black bodies are often treated as a danger, which is one reason that there's so much police brutality against them. But it's not the only problem. So I think it's great that Black Lives Matter is happening. I mean, nothing is perfect, and the movement has its hiccups, but it's certainly making people think and talk and act. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And I don't know how people are reacting in Tennessee, but it seems like people are reacting for the most part positively everywhere, but occasionally not.
Not even occasionally. It's like, I mean, I can't, like, in terms of, like, just stuff going on around me, for example, like, I don't know how to explain this in a way that's safe, but it's like, for example, if I were to tweet out like something in support of a movement, somebody could twist that in a way that's not favorable to my physical safety. So that also presents a larger problem. And that's like a of, sorry, can you, is it video short out again? Okay.
Okay, you kind of cut in and out for a little while there, but
okay.
I think I get the idea that it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous for all of us, but more for you, for people of color. But I get a lot of flack for tweeting positive things about Black Lives Matter and negative things about Trump. I mean, I get lots of flack, and you have to have some courage, and you do, you know. So good for you, and of course, you have a special problem, which is a benefit as well, and you come from a very prominent family in Hollywood, and you grew up, in a very elevated background, and of course your last name is not just, I mean, maybe a few people have that last name, but you are from the Spielberg family. Your father is Steven Spielberg. Your mother is Kate Capshaw. They adopted you as a baby back in 1996. You were about less than a year old, I guess?
No, I was adopted before birth.
Adopted before birth. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was like a surrogate or just an arrangement?
No, I mean, I don't know. I hope you're okay with me being honest about it.
Sure. No. Yes, please. Yes.
I'm going to be as honest as possible with you. Basically, in Los Angeles, like, what you do is you hire an attorney, And sometimes that attorney will have a list of mothers in need of child placement. So we basically go from that.
That's cool. That's really great, because not everybody that gets preggers wants to be a mom.
They're beauty. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about growing up with the Spielbergs.
I do love my family, but like, I don't know, growing up, gosh. Yeah, that's me.
There's a picture of you and Steven at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Looking,
I was like,
beautiful, and he's looking dapper as well.
I was still shy back then, you know.
Oh,
and
but
there
you guys
both are
so good.
Smiling, looking really adorable. There's a lot of pictures of you and him on the internet. I chose those two. I don't know, but there's
I love those
so
two.
Many.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah.
They're actually, I think, in my opinion, the most humanizing photos of me at that time in my life.
Well, they are just incredible people. You know, I don't know them, but I mean, I'm a fan, of course. Everybody is, I think. And so I'm just wondering, how do they feel? I mean, I read in your son interview that they were intrigued but not unsupportive of your new career.
I'm going to just be like completely blunt, just even respectfully. I have a way of being blunt and respectful at
Go
the same
right
time.
Ahead.
They are pro, pro blue state.
Pro what?
Like most people,
blue
pro
state.
Blue state, like most people in the county, but not pro sex work. Mm. And that's just like the blunt truth about it. And that is something we've not.
I find that a lot. With sex work, there's a lot of very blue people that are anti-sex work, and then there's a lot of blue people that are pro-sex work. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, people think, yeah, oh, if you're true. Liberal, you have to support sex work, but it can go either way, you know.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah, and there's some people that might support sex work in general, but not want their daughter to do it. I mean, I mean
that's a normal thing.
Uh huh. I mean, it's such a multi-layered issue. And as my guest last week who was talking about sex panic, it's complicated. It's not just a black and white yes, no kind of thing. It's they love you. They want to be supportive. I'm sure that they don't know what to make of it. There's a picture of you with most of the family. It's a big family. And there you are. And I was very, impressed that you said, I actually think that once they see how far I've come from the bottom I was at a year and a half ago, they're going to look and go, wow, we actually raised a really self-assured young lady. And
I was getting there. And then obviously, you know, I can't talk about the, you know, events around it, but I was, put it this way, taken from my home that was something that was, you know, the term social lynching, right?
Social intervention?
Social lynching.
Social,
social lynching.
I can figure out what it means. I mean, I haven't heard that.
I've never heard it. Please
social
define.
Lynching, it's like...
it's like employing tactics... different kinds of, right?
It's
cut out again.
It's like hanging you in the public square of opinion.
It's like that. It's like doing that, but a lot of the times with people like me who are open about what they believe in, it can happen with the state, and that's all I'm allowed to say about it.
Okay. So, well, I know you've been through some ups and downs and some tough mm-hmm. times lately. You look good. And I hope the best for you in these court-tangled situations. These legal situations are very complicated.
It's painful.
Yeah, it's very painful to get involved with the legal system here. I've been in and out of it myself, so I understand. But, you know, I know you don't want to talk too much about that on the show here, but I just wish the best for you, and maybe we'll talk off the air a little bit about it. So, let's see, back to kind of your upbringing. I mean, you said you were spoiled, but not irresponsibly. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a funny way to put it. What do you mean by that?
It means that my parents are very much about instilling the value of, you know, day-to-day work and task-oriented things in their children. So, I mean, you can't just float by in life and do nothing with it. And I think where, like you said, it's a very complex issue. Where we bump heads is that my choice to do this, I think eventually this is her way of at least doing something with her life that's meaningful.
Your voice cut out a little bit there.
So they really don't believe in just, you know, handing out money to family. You have to earn what you earn. Like, that's their whole philosophy in life.
Well, I think that's a good philosophy, because when people don't have to work a little bit, you know, then they get spoiled. Mm-hmm. So... but a little bit spoiling is good. I mean, I'm a little bit spoiled myself by my husband, of course, my favorite wiener. You and your dad had a very close relationship, and you have very fond memories, you said in the article, about playing computer games and sharing a love of sci-fi and horror films. Can you share any particular time that you had with him?
I think that's hard to answer. I think one of the things was, is like, whenever he would get a new gaming system into the house, or when he would get a new thing in the mail, it was always like I was the first one like, oh, what are you doing? Which is kind of where I get my aesthetic from and my taste in things from. Mm-hmm. Even like the whole kind of like forest creature kind of thing is a result of me being raised around that kind of artistry.
Yes.
They're fantastical.
Yeah, fantastic.
And
yeah.
You said he always loves that I was super unique, and he's literally like an angel, and he always loved that I know exactly what I want.
Oh, yeah. I like don't want to be weird about this, but like I.
And he likes the way your brain functions.
Yeah, I really do love him. That's very true. He really does love the way I view the world when I'm in a good headspace. That's his thing. Is like when I'm in a good headspace, he can see it. So, you know, I have some unique perspectives on things, and so, it shows.
Yeah. Well, interesting that. You told Sunshine that maybe your favorite Steven Spielberg movie is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, because Indiana is searching for his father in that movie. Who's Sean Connery, who Max has been told he looks at like sometimes. So we feel a connection somehow.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting because you mentioned that you were... like you had a background in like some counseling and therapy stuff. So even the fact that you brought that up is like, oh my goodness, that's what Jamie knows she's doing.
Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, there's a few movies that have the search for the father, but that one definitely does. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it might be in the back of your mind about your connection with him and that meaning. I have some meaning attached to Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull because it was filmed at my alma mater.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, I think so many people have strong personal connections with Steven Spielberg movies, which is one reason they think they can tell you what to do in your life.
Oh my God, that's, you hit the nail right on the head. You did, like, exactly. That's exactly it, because that's like the major thing is, like, people feel like my choice and stuff is a betrayal, even though they don't realize, like,
I want to hear that.
I know.
At all. Like, it's not a betrayal.
So they think it's a betrayal, even though they don't realize that it's not a betrayal. I don't think it's a betrayal, but then again, I'm a sex therapist. Yeah. And I'm delighted that one of my heroes has raised this beautiful sexual woman, and that you're pursuing your sexuality and your artistry in this way. I'm thrilled, but I understand that some people, you know, they just associate Steven Spielberg with, like, almost like a Disney quality of entertainment.
Exactly. That's a huge thing for some people, is understanding that that's not at all my area. Like, I'm not him. I'm never going to be him. Mm. I just have to be me.
Right.
You know?
Right. And there can't be another him anyway.
Yeah.
Anybody that tries to be him is not going to succeed. But you are unique, and that's one of the things that he loves about you. And I think he's going to be very, very interested in seeing how you blossom in the situation. And I know you have challenges. I know you've had ups and downs, and you did growing up. You know, you were at a boarding school for a little while. You were bullied. You had some bad people in your life, I guess. You were.
Oh yeah, no. It was a constant for about how many years was that? From like the time I was like, it was like just like my one message to people watching this is like, watch your kids like really closely, like hold on to your kids, watch them really closely.
Mm.
I can't like stress that enough.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they think, oh, my kids are fine, but You don't know every single thing that happens at school. And you say, how was your day? And the kid's like, oh, fine. And it's like,
but just to be clear, this wasn't your family. This wasn't people in your family. This was people you got involved with outside.
I got involved with, I'm allowed to, I guess, answer these questions, I hope. And if I step over the line, just let me know. But it was like, how do I put it? So even like the boarding school I was sent to, they were kind of like false fronts of shop for religious cults. So they sent me there with good intentions, like any scared parent would, not understanding like these people running these places are some of the most like deviant people and I never had anything happen there, but it's like in terms of like other things that would happen. That's like a good example. It's like, you just don't know, like, when you're talking to other people. That's why I say, like, watch your kids. You just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of them all the time, but especially busy parents. But it's important to check in with them and find out what they're up to. Okay, now you mentioned to me that you know, when we were DMing on Twitter, that you've been blacklisted covertly, you feel, in some fashion in the adult industry?
A little bit. Like, I feel like whenever my manager, and I can't say which studios because it's like not all right to say like which studios, because you don't ever put people on the spot that way.
No, you don't have to.
That I think it makes people, yeah. I feel like when he's emailed people, he's told me the responses that he got have been like these vague like no's, but it's not about my body, it's not about my personality, it's about the name and the fears that other performers have around feeling like if they ever want to transition out of the adult industry, like who have they upset by working with me at this point.
Interesting. Yeah,
okay, so they feel like if they want to transition out of the industry, that if they've worked with you, it would be more difficult for them?
That's what I'm suspecting is going on. When I said I had been kind of covertly blacklisted, I mean that if I, like, this happened to me recently, I'm not going to say the website it's on, but I tried to get verified on a CAM website because I have to work, you know, I have to do legal work to make money off of, you know, the adult stuff. webcamming. And one of the problems I'm having is, even though I put in passport verification, I've gotten no response from anyone for like 2 weeks. And they say it's because of COVID, but it's like I talk to girls every day who are approved like instantly.
Well, people might be a little like confused, like they don't know how to deal with Steven Spielberg's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do we do? And so I guess I could see that you might have to be a little bit patient there. But in any case, you're doing it. And you're very good at twerking, by the way. You have a video of that on your Twitter. Can we show
Thank
that?
You.
I want to just have a little fun here. Can we show the Twitter?
Oh,
here we go. We got it queued up. A little twerking.
Oh, my God. Okay.
No, you Where don't have it? To have it. We have it. There it is.
Ooh,
wow.
Sexy, sexy.
Sexy, sexy.
Yeah, it's like so fast on my end. It's like rapid fire.
It is. It's really rat-a-tat-tat. Nice buns for...
Sexy.
Definitely nice buns for Wiener Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, my buns are falling apart here. That doesn't sound good, but there's my wiener. Happy Wiener Day.
Happy Wiener Day. I brought something for that, by the way.
So you're also getting kind of good at the pole, a giant wiener. Let's show a little bit of that, just a little bit.
Yeah, oh my God, this video is like not a flattering angle at all, but I got my lay back today.
You're doing it.
Yeah. But
you're doing it very smooth.
Like
it's slow and smooth. It's
and then
pretty basic, but you've got nice form there.
I was able to let go.
You know, some of my
best you're able
tricks.
To let go. Very nice. So
some of I was going to say some of my best tricks look good on the stage, but whenever I've had photographers photograph me doing them or videographers, they don't look that good. They show every fat roll, every whatever. But when I do it on stage, customers were like, oh, hot, you know. Other dancers were like, show me that, you know. So in person and on video is two totally different things, you know.
So we did find some other... beautiful video of you online with a dildo. Can we show that?
Which one? Because it depends on like which one it is. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out.
Well, it's the only one we found with a dildo. But
oh God, okay.
I can't. Now you broke up.
I did. Here's the thing: is when I started out. Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing about that one is when I first started, people thought that I had no idea how to, like, do my makeup or anything like that. People thought that I was, like, just, like, erratic and out of control, and it was a sex tape that accidentally got released when I had actually started making clips, like, as a clip artist, I guess is what they call it, or, like, a cam artist, before it was, like, a scandal, which is, like, so weird because, like, the term scandal kind of, like, I don't know, it's kind of like an interference like with the autonomy aspect of it, because it's like people thought it was accidental. Like they were like, she can't really be serious, can she? And I was like, I'm actually probably serious about this.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think it was accidental. I thought it was the natural look, you know. I mean, you now look very polished and your makeup is perfect and your hair, and in the video you're more like passionate and, you know, kind of natural woman, I love it. I mean, I think it's beautiful and very
nice,
erotic, and you're looking right at the camera, so you don't look like, you know, Kim Kardashian having a spy cam on her without her awareness, or Paris Hilton, or somebody like, nothing against them, but just saying, they seem like they were caught unawares, although I don't even know if they were caught unawares.
They knew they were getting
I kind of think, I don't know. But in any case, yours looks much, much more purposeful. And yeah, it looks, you know, it's solo. You do solo work. It's not.
I do.
You know, it's not a real wiener. It's a plastic
fake
wiener.
Fake pink one.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if how you feel about it, but I mean, it sounds like you have mixed feelings, but I think it's beautiful.
I like myself better now, you know?
How long ago was that video? It was not that long ago, right?
Or it was 8 months ago, like 7 or 8 months ago, you know? It's like
yesterday. No, I think it's a classic, and I think that one day you will be very proud that that video is out there on the internet. It's just out there, and it's beautiful. It just seems very unpolished and raw, and yet, you know, I see that girl that you said, you know, knows what she wants. And that your dad finds so admirable about you. I mean, I don't know if he'd find the particulars of that video admirable. Probably
I
not.
I don't think he wants to.
Probably not. But at the same time, he would find it just really, you know, your purposefulness, I think.
It's a real webcam show.
It's a real webcam show is what you say. Yeah. Definitely an A-plus webcam show.
I'm an artist.
Okay, well, we're going to look at it later. Okay, so so what else would you like to tell our audience? Because we are kind of running out of time.
Well, I guess it's just that thank you so much for having me on, by the way.
Oh, yes. My pleasure.
You're amazing. I'm still doing OnlyFans, obviously.
Yes, yes, you're OnlyFans.
Oh, find you on OnlyFans.
Yeah, I'm still doing that. There are a lot of fakes, though. I have to say, like, if you search Michaela Spielberg, it's, like, not up there. I'm doing really well in terms of keeping myself grounded. This is my first live interview, so that's really fucking incredible.
That is incredible. No, I'm honored you chose to do your first live interview with me. So I chose you to do an interview with, and I had no doubt as soon as I read about you that you were someone that I wanted to talk to and that I hope to talk to many times over the years, but I just wanted to catch you on your way up. And I know you've got ups and downs, but I do feel you are on your way up.
I think so, too. I think that I'm on my way up, and I think my fans sometimes know that that can intimidate the wrong people, even if I don't mean for it to, you know?
Yeah.
So if Dad watches this, or Mom, do you have a message for them now at the end of our little conversation?
Yeah. Well, love you guys. And I'm doing really, really good. Doing really good. Yeah. You know, obviously having the ups and downs, but I miss you, and you're free to call me anytime.
Ah, beautiful. And now it's frozen. Oh, is she moving? Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, it's been a beautiful time. I'd love to talk with you again when you've gotten further along with everything.
And let me know when you're in LA.
In the meantime, you know, stay safe in the corona apocalypse as well as in the South. Woo. You know.
You as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard from here.
All right. Mika Spielberg, thank you for joining our bedside chat. Happy Wiener Day.
Happy Wiener Day.
Ah.
I'm just going to click. Should I play the video?
Should you what? Oh, you got a wiener?
Should I turn?
Do you have a wiener there? Oh, yeah, say that. Say,
what?
Hi, I'm Mika Spielberg, and I want you to watch the Dr. Susan Block Show.
With the thing in my...
Okay, so she's cutting out now.
Wait. Oh, God. Okay.
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 Sorry. Wait, you want me to... Okay.
So, hi, I'm Mika Spielberg, and I want you to watch the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Hi. Hi, I'm Mika Spielberg, and I want you to watch the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Yay.
Oh, my God. Her voice
Thank
is
you
so
much.
Sexy.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Good luck
you.
To you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Yay. All right, I'm going to just stop the video. Okay.
Take care.
All right, Mika Spielberg, a.k.a. Mikaela Spielberg, a.k.a. Anxious Chonk Elf.
Yeah. Kawaii.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Inside and out.
Hey, Steven. Uh-huh. Love ya. Hey, Kate. Love you, too. You know,
love you too.
I'm guessing they're going to watch this at some point, and I think it's a beautiful thing what your daughter is doing. But, you know, I don't know if you agree with me, but that's what I think. And so where are we right now? Okay. So now I would like to continue our celebration of Wiener Day with a visit to John and his wiener.
And his wiener.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all... Hey, John!
Hi, John.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, good, good. I've got my wiener here. You've got your wiener somewhere there.
I have mine.
So, John, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, been a long time. Long time.
How's life in the corona apocalypse? How you dealing?
I've been okay. Just been still doing some stuff, hanging home, stepping out here and there, eating good, and I'm all right, actually. Been
so
really well.
Are you having a fair amount of sex or not so much because of corona?
No, I've been all right. I've just been, we're shooting, you know, I've been doing scenes for a company out here. It's just that we have to keep taking this COVID test every time we do a scene, like every, like 2-3 days or something like that. So.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. Okay.
I guess before there was all kinds of tests for sexually transmitted diseases. This one's just a human transmitted disease, but certainly it's even though you've got quite a big wiener, you still have to get kind of close to somebody to. have sex, so
that's great.
You know,
it doesn't matter how long it is, you could still get corona.
Yeah, you could. So you know, this is your, you've been on the show before. I don't know if you remember, you were on our Bonobo Spring Equinox Bacchanal with Onyx Muse, and let's just show a little clip of that, can we?
Go for it.
There's
He's
Onyx.
Actually taking his own clothes off, brothers and sisters. So this guy is very, very cooperative. He is a bonobo male. We appreciate that. And
He's
look
so
at that
bonobo.
Ass jumping up at him. Now she's getting into that Hitachi.
Check out
right
the
there.
Thumbprints on her.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Listen to that smack of spring. Yeah. That's the sound of spring. Smack, smack. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Snacking is going good.
But we didn't see your wiener in that one. But, you know, we saw your muscles, and, you know, they're very attractive and impressive. And I guess, you seem like you're more muscular now.
I've been with him.
Mm. You've been working out?
Yeah. I put on some weight and got way bigger since then, so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, wow. Can you take your shirt off? Thank you. Ooh,
nice. Chi-chis.
Nice.
So, you know.
Normally I say that to girls, nice chi-chis. Pecs.
We call them pecs.
For guys.
But
okay. Nice pecs.
Very nice. Very nice. So it's Wiener Day. So, you know, you're a porn star, and you have to have a good relationship with your wiener. It's a performance wiener. So do you have any, like, tips to share with guys that might want to be porn stars or just perform?
Well, the main thing is you don't want to anticipate or, you know, like if you're, let's just say you're going on a set. I mean, you don't want to be too impatient. You don't want to be nervous. You just got to be calm and relaxed. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of picture that you're in a normal setting, you know, like you're at home, basically. Because like every time I'm on a scene or a set, I pretty much just my mind is like I'm at home, like I'm comfortable.
Comfortable, so that, yeah.
So I even think if that's you are nervous, you have
because
to
when
it.
when you're too relaxed, then Mr. Wiener doesn't get hard if you're like so relaxed. But if you're just comfortable, that I guess is key. I mean, I don't know if I'm being nosy. Do you take Wiener drugs or do you do it natural?
It depends. I mean, if I'm feeling the girl, vibe is cool, I'm comfortable with her, then I don't need anything. I'm attracted to her. But if I'm not really feeling her, if it may be like some crazy hard scene, then yeah, I might need some assistance, man. So uh-huh. I think that's just
wow.
Okay.
Well,
so wait a second. He said if he's working with like a crazy person, then he would have to take drugs. If he's attracted to the girl, he doesn't have to.
Well, yeah. If he's attract, I mean, attraction is the greatest aphrodisiac.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but if you find someone hot, then you know that can rev you up. You know, so especially if it's someone somewhat new and hot. But sometimes seeing someone that you're familiar with is really nice too. So, I think you really like this Katrina Jade that you did a scene with that we're going to show an excerpt from because, it's a happy wiener.
Oh, sexy.
Turn the sound up here.
So why is that? You never stepped out of the box.
No.
Yes. Nice.
There's a happy wiener.
And nice chichis too.
Very nice.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Squeeze that cup.
Facebook, you can't see this. Whoa.
They always smack the butt.
Just
can
like
I
a
ask?
Wiener dog that Wiener was going right into the badger burrow. Deep inside. Yeah, I mean, you seem to really like her. Was there something about her technique or just her looks?
She's attractive. She's cool. You know, her vibe is chill. I like girls with the tattoos. Of course, I have a lot of tattoos myself, as you can see.
You like girls with tattoos?
Yeah. Sunshine has tattoos. I have fake tattoos. No, but Sunshine has real tattoos.
Bunch, like, all over.
Yeah, Sunshine, show some of your tattoos.
Okay.
Oh, I have pretty much everything. My neck.
Yeah, I saw you have like some sun around your belly button, right?
Oh yeah, a little tribal sun, yeah.
What's the first tattoo you got and how old were you?
The first one I got, it's actually covered up. You can't really see it anymore, but I was like probably 14, I think.
14? Wow. I got my first one at 15. That's crazy. Only 1 year difference.
You guys are so tattoo precocious. My goodness. 14. Wow. So how long have you been doing porn, John?
Man, I would say probably coming up to almost 17 years, maybe.
17 years.
16, whoa. Close, maybe near almost will be 17 at some point. Yeah.
I'm calculating. I mean,
so
you were over 18 when
21?
You started, right? Or not?
21?
Mm-hmm, I was.
Okay.
I was in my early 20s.
Mm. Yeah. And do you have any advice? I mean, we just talked to Mika Spielberg, who is just getting into porn in her own way. She has her own kind of challenges, you could say. But, you know, a lot of people are interested in doing porn either,
you know, as a career or maybe just part-time, maybe just as an adventure or maybe just to make some extra money. Maybe they just want to do something solo right now or with their main partner because it's the corona apocalypse. Do you have advice for how to, you know, succeed in erotic entertainment?
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's like if you get into this business, you got to, your mind has to really be into it. You know what I mean? Like mentally, because it's a very mental game. So if your mind's not into it, it's like you're going to have a hard time. So it's like, because you have to deal with, you know, like you're meeting different people every day. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're put on set with people you've never seen before. You don't know anything about some of these people. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be able to connect with them, not be nervous. And, you know, basically just.
You have to really like sex.
You got
to be kind of a horny person.
Because I see a lot of it's a lot of dudes that, you know, hit me up all the time on social media. Hey, y'all want to get in? It's like, maybe like I fucked my wife real good at home and this and that. And it's like, well, it's not like you're at home. It's not home sex. Like to me, I don't want to say like corporate fucking, but it's like you're on like a time, you know, it's like a time matter. And then it's like you have somebody with a camera over you. You have people in front of you. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to maintain your erection, you know, for a long, pretty good long time. You got to be up and you got to go down at times. You got to stop at times and go.
Right.
It's a lot to deal with. Some guys think that they'll come do porn and just basically have sex with the girl, and they don't know that there's steps to doing this. You know, it's not.
Coming on time is especially challenging, I think. You know, I mean, it's one thing. The drugs don't help you to come on time. They could only help you to get hard. But coming is, you know, up to you and your feelings. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's interesting that you said corporate fucking, though. He's like, I don't want to say corporate fucking, but, and I was like, but that's, yeah, that's it.
Corporate fucking. Yeah.
Corporate fucking. That's interesting.
That is a funny way to put it. But, yeah. You know, I guess that's what you're doing when you're working for a big porn company. Although a lot of people are doing just porn at home, I guess, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. OnlyFans content. You know, like you have more control over what you're doing, and you know, it's more reliable, I would say.
So, you have an OnlyFans. What do you like to do when you make your own content versus when you're hired to be on a set? Like, what do you think the biggest difference is?
The only difference to me is that. I guess that there's no porn person there. I'm pretty much doing the same thing.
Oh, same thing.
But
okay, cool.
I'm used to being open for the camera, and you know, I've been doing it for so long. So even when I'm doing content for myself, it still kind of seems like I'm still on a regular set. So I don't, I'm not closed off, or I'm not covering the girl. You know, like. I do it for the audience. You know what I'm saying? I do my position. And rather than me act, you know, like I'm in my bed. I don't know. I'm just stuck on.
So that's good. You know what the audience wants. You know how to perform for the audience because you know what they want, right?
Yeah. And does that turn you on, or are you a bit of an exhibitionist?
Yeah, I don't mind people watching.
You like people watching. I think you have to like people watching because people are watching if you're going to do porn. So have you been involved at all in any Black Lives Matter protests?
I mean, I know they've been around or whatnot. I haven't stepped out into any of them or whatnot. I've actually been close around my home because of, you know, all this corona stuff is going on. In my family, I have a lot of... my mom and my stepdad and they're ill, you know what I'm saying? So I try to kind of maintain my distance and stuff to make sure, you know, that my family's okay. So I haven't, you know, too much to try to be around a lot of people and those aspects. You know, I have no problem with the, I mean, of course, the BLM movement, you know, that's what it is. That's what's up, you know what I'm saying? But I just didn't want to, I don't want to be around a lot of people. And I have other, you know, I have other stuff going on.
Do you think that changes need to be made in the adult industry in any way in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I know they're talking about taking the, like, they don't want to say interracial, certain terms they are trying to take out now and make the food a bit fair, you know. And I see a couple, you know, I see a couple of those changes and stuff. They're working on that, and that's cool, you know what I mean? Like I said, when I got in, a whole bunch of things going on at that time, so. You know, the stereotypes were strong, and, you know, that's what we were doing, you know, so it was,
it's interesting you said that. Sally Mullins said the same thing, like, the stereotypes were really strong at first, and then you think that the stereotypes are, like, kind of going away a little bit, or getting better, I guess?
It's kind of been dulling down a bit through time, you know what I'm saying? It's definitely not like it was before. That's
so, yeah. Well, I think, you know, everything's changing. We're going through lots of changes, and hopefully it's going to go in a positive direction. You see very progressive change and people coming together, and then on the other side you see, you know, these stormtroopers picking people up on the street. So who knows which way it's going to go? But you do seem like a go-with-the-flow kind of guy. So I have a feeling you're going to be a survivor either way.
I have a question. Yeah. What do you think of Jeremy Zaretsky? And now the other guy.
Stagliano.
Stagliano. Now we have this woman who says she's the cop of the porn industry. She's the policeman of
That's
the porn
Ginger
industry.
Banks.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we say her name?
What do you think about that?
You know, I don't, like I said, I've met Ron a whole bunch of times. You know what I'm saying? I personally got nothing against the man. I know he's, you know, he's been around for like forever, for a long time. He's a legend in his name. But, I can't speak for all the, you know, the women or whatnot or what's happened. And I just know from my experience of being around him, he was always cool to me. You know,
people they can arrest, huh? Because everybody in the porn industry has done some of those things. So.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, all type of people have done these type of things, you know. And Ron, I mean, he's really old, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, toss him in jail. I mean, his age at this time, you know, it's pretty crazy, man. You know, I think it's wild. But,
yeah, well, he's an old friend of ours, you know, and so we talked about it quite a bit last week. Actually, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about his situation. We're worried for him because of, you know, COVID.
They're giving him a death sentence.
Yeah.
It's a death sentence. I've never seen, you know, Ron has been on his show many times. I've never seen him rape anyone in the bathroom. I've never, you know, and if women said, go away, bang, he's away. So this woman, this cop, okay, is a danger to the whole industry. And I've been in the industry since 1971.
Oh,
and I hate cops. I hate cops, whether they're wearing uniforms or whether they're rats.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand.
Yeah. Be safe.
Yeah, I got you. I understand.
Yeah, we're pretty pretty passionate, emotional about this because it hits close to home. And we appreciate your perspective. We kind of talked to a lot of people about it.
I also say this because I've been arrested 23 times. I'm the most prosecuted publisher in this country, 23 times. I spent 3 years in prison. I love this work. I love sexuality. I've been around the porn industry forever and ever and ever, and I know everybody in the industry. But I hate rats. I hate rats.
Yeah, I agree. I feel you.
Anyway, I just had to say that because I think this prosecution of Ron is absolutely out of the question. That's what people expect from him. I've seen him in our studio with women lining up
to be groped and then to have him sign their
and
boobs.
Sign their tits and all of that.
And whenever there's a woman that doesn't want it, he'll leave. You know,
at least in our studios, I've never seen.
Maybe
him
he'll
do
give
anything.
Them that hangdog look, but he doesn't.
Well, what I think is that this woman wants to be the new head of the porn. She's the new head. She's the new symbol of pornography.
And there are always new symbols, and that's fine, except
sure.
That doesn't mean you have to, you know, shit
don't
on
you don't give somebody
other people. People.
You don't give anybody a death sentence.
Exactly.
Okay? And it's a death sentence for this man.
So.
You know what? Like, being in prison, it's like a knee on your neck for
a
long time.
That's what we say.
For a long time.
Prison is a long-term chokehold. And it does, you know, kill a lot of people, and especially nowadays when people are getting
you know,
the virus.
By the way, this same accuser exposes herself in public, which is against the law. It offends people. It scares people. And she's turning in this guy who is really an innovator in the erotic film business. You know? Anyway, I had to get that off my soul.
Yes. Tell it, Brother Max. Tell it. Testify. Testify.
If you gotta do it, do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a truth-telling program where we do try to explore things that are not explored on other programs.
This book here.
This book.
Because this explains a lot about the...
The current situation.
The current situation and what's going on with people in the pornography business.
You mean Joanne Wipczewski's book,
Me Too.
What
she has a
we
great
don't
analysis.
Talk about when we talk about Me Too. Right. So get the book. It's on Amazon. Read my review on Counterpunch. See John John's movies. He has an OnlyFans. And... anything else you want to promote, John? John, we
promote.
Gotta go.
You know, I'm like so off the radar and chill, but I'm putting out some new material on scenes lately, actually, because I took a little break away from while doing my main other work and stuff I do. But I come in, I still do scenes and stuff. But if you want to check out a lot of my stuff. You can always look me up on my OnlyFans, or you can look on my Twitter, RealJohnJohn6x, or put my name in Google, and you can Google and see a whole bunch of my stuff come up. So I'm all over the place.
All right, we'll find you. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wiener tips. Okay, so... I got a wiener here that I haven't really eaten yet.
I get so
all right.
Greedy.
So, what a show. Wow. We had a few technical difficulties, but basically we had a great Wiener Day celebration. And did you catch Sunshine's cake? She made wiener cake. Wow. You know... I don't know if it's made with hot dog parts, but it looks delicious. And, of course, there's your classic wiener.
Strawberry wiener cake.
So good.
We only have a couple of minutes left.
Okay, so basically You know, check out the OnlyFans to John John, and of course to our first guest, Mika Spielberg. Yeah, Mikaela Spielberg. Check her out on OnlyFans and on Twitter. And yeah, Bonobo Way, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, check
like
out
wieners,
the Bonobo Way. Com.
You
check
will
out.
Love Bonobo Way, right? Check out the Bonobo Way. Check out drsusanblock.com if you have wiener problems, penis problems, that is. Then you should call me at 213-291-9497. You know, I can help you out with your penis problems, your wiener obsessions. And if not me, one of our other therapists, and one of our therapists is Sunshine. How about that? So we try to liberate your inner bonobo. And so make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you, I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the make love, not war, great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war, really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure. With the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males, bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.